Friday, October 14th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, it's Friday. We're returning to our Ask the Pastor feature. We encourage our listeners to participate in this by sending us their questions. Questions related to issues of life and how the Bible addresses them, or perhaps just Bible questions. What does the Bible mean when it says this? If you have a question for Harry, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Harry, first up on today's Ask the Pastor feature, is baptism actually an important part of Christianity, or is it simply a tradition?
Tom, may I also say, I had no idea the pent-up desire to take advantage of this opportunity, as we're getting a number of really excellent questions about issues of the day. And it's really interesting, this first question, I'm thankful for the opportunity to answer it. The baptisms of believers, as you see, the 20-plus accounts of baptism in the New Testament, believers and their households, as you see that, you immediately see that this was a vital part of the Christian life and the establishment of the church. And the reason why is because when Jesus gives a definitive statement of the Great Commission, that is, what should we, his people, what are we supposed to do until he comes again? Well, he says, what you do is make disciples. Well, how do you make disciples? Well, going, you evangelize them. Then what do? You baptize them. And thus you see believers and believers in their households being enfolded into the body of Christ. Then you teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So baptism is a direct command. It's not a man-made tradition absorbed into Christianity. It is a direct command that our Lord modeled when he was baptized and preceded with multiple baptisms that were prescribed in the Old Testament, and two incidents that the New Testament affirms as examples of baptism, and that was Moses taking the people through the Red Sea, and then Noah and his family in the ark are affirmed in the New Testament as Old Testament examples of baptism. So we've got baptisms prescribed, you had baptisms of blood, baptisms of oil, baptisms of water. Now Jesus says, here is baptism in the New Testament, the singular dynamic of the sign of the covenant that is being placed upon believers in their households. Now, Tom, one thing we want to make clear, though, is that baptism is a gift of God as a means of grace, but it doesn't have converting power. It's a confirming act. It confirms the promises of God. It doesn't convert people to God. That's clear in the Bible. That's why Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, I came to preach the gospel. Baptism is important, but it's downstream in the work of the gospel, because first has to be the proclamation of the gospel. Baptism is the sign and seal that confirms the promises of God, but it does not convert people. That's why you bring the gospel, which does convert individuals. You can get baptism wrong and still be saved if you've heard the gospel, but you can't be saved without hearing the gospel that exposes our sin and exalts Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Harry, our second question comes from a listener named Tom. He asks a question concerning Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6. Of this passage, he asks, is this passage referring to believers or unbelievers? Let me read the passage to you. Again, this is Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. For in this case, of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those whose sake it was also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed and ends up being burned.
So, Don, first of all, thanks for the question, and this is a challenging text. Is this a believer or an unbeliever? Well, let me answer it this way. this text is referring to unbelievers who at one time either professed faith or had come into the midst of the covenant community and had become partakers in the community of faith. In other words, here are people who either by profession or by birth had come into the covenant community and had experienced the blessings of God's grace at work in the covenant community and then had walked away from it. First of all, this is the writer of Hebrews addressing a particular case study. This isn't a text that's giving us a basic foundational theological principle. This is the analysis of a situation of someone who has resided in the covenant community. They have tasted the good gifts of God, the Word of God. They have seen the hand of God at work. They have been exposed to it. It has been all around them. They have lived in the midst of God's blessing in His church, His covenant community, and then they walk away and deny the faith. So how do we understand this? Well, first of all, you go to texts that give you broad theological principles, such as, Father, all whom you've given me, I lose not one, and will raise them up on the last day. These are not true believers. These are either nominal believers, professing believers, but not having saving faith. They had a man-made temporary faith, or they had simply been born into the covenant community as the children of believers, and they had been exposed to it, but they had never personally engaged Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, eventually, the fruit will show us the root. And so here are people who have received the rain of God's blessings that fell upon that community, but they did not yield the fruit of saving faith in a life that is enabled to, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. They ultimately exhibited unbelief by denying the gospel and walking away from the gospel. What's interesting is this text is telling us there is a group of people who reside within the people of God who are not believers. In other words, the church in this world is a mixed multitude. It has unbelievers within its boundaries. They can come by a false profession of faith and a false baptism, such as Simon the magician, whose heart was still in the bondage of iniquity, or those false teachers that Paul exposes, such as Demas, who had never known the Lord. John refers to those who go from us because they were never really part of us. In other words, they come in with a false profession or by the incidents of life they're among the people of God. But ultimately, their life will manifest whether they have a saving relationship with Christ or not. And when they walk away, now the text is telling us there are some people that the door of grace is shut prior to death. There is no hope for them. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance. They have denied the blood of the covenant. They have insulted the Spirit of grace. We know the door of grace is shut at death. It's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. We don't know who they are, but we now have found out that there are those who are unbelievers who are given the privilege to be in the midst of God's people and then insult the Spirit of grace, trample under their feet the blood of the covenant, walk away and declare it's untrue. And some of those individuals, God then shuts the door of grace and declares it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Hebrews is going to give an example of this in chapter 10 when it speaks of Esau, who has said, I don't want the covenant, I want soup, and he walked away from God's covenant birthrights, and then it says that he was unable to find repentance. That's why we urgently call men and women to saving faith and repentance in Christ.
If you have a question for Harry Reader, we invite you to write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Perhaps a question concerning an issue of life and how the Scriptures address it, or perhaps you have a question concerning a particular Scripture passage that just doesn't make sense to you. We invite you again to write to us, askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.